Friends, many of our most fundamental freedoms are under assault here in America and in Europe as well. Yet rather than the church changing the world is changing the church.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, my heart is overflowing, and there is a whole lot to talk about today. I want to stir your heart. I want to challenge, encourage, equip you today here on The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. Our focus is on what is happening in the world. And what is happening in the world affects every one of us because we live in this world. Yes, you needed me to tell you that. So prepare for some hard-hitting news. Prepare to be challenged. Prepare to be strengthened and encouraged. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast today. Before I tell you about what happened to me in 1999 on Martin Luther King Day and what happened this year on Martin Luther King Day, I want to read a proclamation to you. And I want you to tell me who you think said this. In fact, I'll give away a free copy of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, to the person who gets this right. All right, this is a proclamation that was made a few years back. Are you ready? Whereas gay youth and their straight supporters are joining together on May 15th, 2004 for the 10th annual Gay Straight Youth Pride Month, March, gay and straight youth lobbied for and won passage of landmark legislation that prohibits discrimination against gay and lesbian students in blank public schools. Whereas young people, particularly gays and lesbians, are at high risk for suicide, abuse of drugs and alcohol, and running away from home. And whereas blank is home to the Governor's Commission on Gay and Lesbian Youth, which supports the Commonwealth's gay and lesbian youth through school-based and educational programs. Whereas the Gay Straight Youth Pride March celebrates the Commonwealth's commitment to providing a healthy environment for all students in public schools. I'll just keep going in case you missed it. Now, therefore, I, blank of the Commonwealth of blank, do hereby proclaim May 15th, 2004 to be blank Gay Straight Youth Pride Day. Who issued that proclamation celebrating Gay Straight Youth Pride Day? If you'd like a free copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, give me a call right now at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We will take the calls off the air, and whoever gets it right first is the winner. So who made that proclamation? Someone that would be known to most every American today, 866-348-7884. Maybe we'll do some more trivia later on. Okay, 1999. Or it's actually 2000 when this took place. This is Martin Luther King Day of 2000, so right at the beginning of that year. I'm in a hotel room in Houston, Texas. I had been stirred. This was in the midst of a six-week period where I was completely overwhelmed. And Andrew, we don't need to get name. Okay, Timothy has won. All right, no more calls. Thanks for weighing in. All right, call everything. I'll have to give away more books because the response is so immediately overwhelming. So, guys, we'll figure out a way to give away a few more books today. Anyway, it is 1999, early 2000, a six-week period. I was moved on with great intensity to write the book Revolution, The Call to Holy War, which is a real wake-up call to the body and a call for us to follow the revolutionary principles of Jesus, the non-violent lay your life down to touch and save a hurting, dying world principles of Jesus. And it was a Monday. I was getting ready to speak in Houston, and I'm really not conscious of holidays and things like that. And I'm writing this chapter, which is called Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, The Driving Force of Revolution. Getting online, downloading all kinds of quotes from Martin Luther King, writing, including him in this chapter, only to find out later that day it was Martin Luther King Day. Something interesting happened this year, too. Okay, back with some major news. Stay with me. Give up.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'm going to be reading some excerpts over the program from my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. And we just gave away a copy, but I realize that many of you listening, thousands of you, do not have this book, which is really a landmark book in our own ministry and really explains a lot of our philosophy, our burden, our understanding, and how we see how revolutions have taken place in society, an early destructive, worldly, violent, and how the Jesus revolution is supposed to be a life-giving, life-transforming force. I mean, this book will wake you and shake you. So we're going to make it available for an offering of any size to our ministry. If any way that you're able to help us, we'll send you this as a way of saying thank you. So we'll tell you about that in a little while. Just made that decision because it's relevant to the program today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Fundamental question. This is for interaction, not to win a free book. Here in America, over this last generation, in recent years, is the church impacting the world and changing the world? Are we changing our environment around us morally, spiritually, or is our environment changing us? Is the world being impacted for the gospel more, or is the church being impacted by the world more? Are we helping to raise the standards, or are our standards being pulled down by the world? Are we being conformed to the world, or are we renewing our minds by the word of God and making an impact so that the world is becoming more and more like Jesus through people being saved and through standards and fear of God and conviction raising, even in the general society? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, before I begin to address that and share some things with you that'll be quite eye-opening, Martin Luther King Day this year, it's Monday, 2 days ago, I come into our studio here. I'm doing show as normal, just checking online, checking news, looking at a couple things, and I see a big day in sports, basketball games through the day, and I thought, why are they playing basketball games during the day? Why? It's a Monday. And anyway, someone had sent me an article having to do with Martin Luther King, and did he write a letter to an anti-Semite? Was that true or not? That seems to be fictitious, but it expressed his sentiments accurately. And Martin Luther King, while speaking at Harvard University in 68, just shortly before he was assassinated, took a question that was apparently a hostile question from someone about Zionism and said, when you're talking about Zionists, you're talking about Jews, you're criticizing Jews, that's anti-Semitism. So that prompted me to write an article, which I wrote yesterday, wrote on Monday, as anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism. It's on townhall.com if you want to read it. In fact, I'd encourage you to it because you'll find a lot of shocking Islamic anti-Semitic quotes from today, from now. Anyway, I realized that night, oh, I'm quoting Martin Luther King to start an article, and it's actually Martin Luther King Day. So I missed that once again. But, I mean, it happens. You know how I know what day of the week it is normally? Can I tell you honestly? Based on what I'm talking about on the radio, I can figure out, oh, if it's Friday, I know it's Friday because you've got questions we've got to answer. Seriously, that's how I know the days of the week, because otherwise, you know, one day kind of blends with another, and I just don't think calendar and that kind of thing. So unless it's a birthday or anniversary that pops up, I don't have any holidays that pop up on my calendar. I don't have any notices of any holidays or special days or anything like that. So the only way I know is the birthday or anniversary. That's the only thing in there that pops up, and I tend to have those in my head. Anyway, I mean family birthdays or anniversaries. Okay, I read this proclamation from Governor Mitt Romney 2004 when he was governor of Massachusetts. God knows his heart. God knows his life. God knows where he stands on issues. He certainly articulates a lot of things well. He certainly represents himself well. And yet, there is a reason that many people have deep questions. His Mormonism is not my issue. My issues are, where does he really stand on these social and moral issues that are of great importance to God, I believe, and therefore they are of great importance to me as one of his followers, one of the Lord's followers, and as a servant in this world to try to make an impact for good. there's a video that Newt Gingrich's campaign has put out. And if you just watch the campaign commercials, I've only seen a few of them, but I mean, everybody's bad. Everybody's a demon. Everybody's wicked. You know, I mean, they're just savaging each other as happens. And it's going to, whoever runs against Mr. Obama, they're going to be savaging each other for months and months and months. Expect it to get ugly, uglier than we've seen, with a lot of money behind it and people passionately doing it. We as God's people have to rise higher. So there's some quotes from Governor Romney standing up for a woman's right to choose abortion and then saying that if she's a minor, she should have the consent of one parent, but if she can't get that, she can go to a judge to get consent when the parents won't give it. This is a video put out by Gingrich's campaign. People would say, well, he had a change of heart in some of these areas, and look at how he ultimately governed. All I'm saying is be careful. The solution is not, if you oppose Mr. Obama's policies and believe he's not the best person to be president, as I do, the solution is don't just find someone who can, quote, beat him. See if there's someone that stands for your values. And then more importantly, remember that the primary answer is not in the White House or in the Congress or even in the judiciary. The primary answer is in God and God's people living things out here on the earth. So, by the way, for those of you that thought that I took issue with President Obama, it offended me a little bit, but I don't get offended. But the thought of it was offensive to me, I should say, that I took issue with him because he was black, which was as wrong a statement as could have possibly been made. Are you going to tell me that I'm taking issue with Mitt Romney because he's white? Or maybe a Mormon's going to call in and say I'm taking issue with him because he's a Mormon? I hope not. I hope you can see to me that the issues are the issues. But may I repeat yet again something I have said many, many times on this broadcast. The greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness as it is the absence of light. The greatest problem in America today is not so much the presence of darkness, but the absence of light. I'm going to give away another book, and then I'm going to present this to you in terms of what our role should be here in the society in a way that I don't think you'll be able to argue with, regardless of your scriptural background. All right? But I'm going to give away another book. Which international city? Which international city? So we're not talking about in America. Which international city has been dubbed the best gay travel destination for 2011. I know this is a hard one. You got to just take a stab at it. All right. Whoever gets it right gets a free copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. Which city was labeled the best gay city destination of 2011? Let me tell you this. New York City came in second place with 14%. Toronto came in third place with 7%, if I'm getting the percentages right. London, 5% of the vote. But the city that was hands down, overwhelmingly dubbed the best gay city destination of 2011. So it's not, I'll give you a hint, it's not in North America. It's not in South America. Not in North America. Not in South America. Dubbed the number one gay travel city in 2011, got 43% of the votes. What city was it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And let me just secretly inform our guys of the correct answer, and we'll let you know when the correct answer comes through. All right, I've got a question for you. I'm asking you fundamentally, in this generation here, last generation, I've been saved 40 years now, so in that sense, a full generation in recent years. Has the church been changing the society, or has society been changing the church? Have the standards of the world become the standards of the church, or are we having an effect, a salt and light effect, where we are raising the moral climate, raising the moral standard, raising spirituality in our culture? So let me present it to you like this. You hear that God is moving powerfully in a particular city. You hear that in the last 20 years, church attendance has gone from 2% of the population to 40% of the population. that Bible studies are taking place in homes in every community in the city. All right? You hear this. And you also hear that people are in the schools doing Bible studies and all-night prayer meetings, and there's witnessing taking place on the streets and things like that. And you go to visit only to find out that in the last 10 years, the crime rate has tripled, the rate of rapes has quadrupled, violent crimes is up 3 times, racism and racial hatred is at the highest it has ever been, and on and on and on. And the poor are being neglected more than ever. Would you say something is wrong with that picture? By the way, Pam, congratulations, you're the winner. The city, number one, gay travel destination. Tell you when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the city that was voted the number one gay travel destination of 2011, winning a whopping 43% of the vote, virtually tripling the amount of votes given to New York, and then more than doubling the combined votes given to New York, London, and Toronto, or just about doubling all those cities combined. Tel Aviv, Israel, the biggest city in Israel. Tel Aviv, for those of you who have this sentimental attachment to Israel and think, oh, the Holy Land, think again. I absolutely stand with Israel for biblical purposes and purposes of justice, but not out of sentimental, oh, Israel, the Holy Land, purposes. Surprised? All right, for all of you flooding our phone lines in response to our giveaways, let me share this with you, and then I want to share some alarming news with you, all right? As if the Tel Aviv info was not alarming enough. In this book, Revolution, the Call of Holy War, when it came out, it came out just in time. It's a long, amazing story. Maybe one day I'll tell you, but a long, amazing story. It came out just in time for the largest gathering of Christian young people in American history. Several hundred thousand gathered in Washington, D.C., September 2nd of 2000 for 12 hours of prayer, fasting, crying out to God for mercy in our nation, for repentance and revival beginning in the church. And I wrote it in a very supernatural push. In a six-week period, it's just about 340 pages. And it is a book that's impacted many, many, many people. The day it came out, through divine provision, we gave away over 70,000 copies. Retail value, about $1 million of books we gave away at that rally that day. It's quite an amazing sight. We had students, 750 or so students, coming up in 15 buses from Pensacola, Florida, 22-hour ride to be part of that event. And we're really convinced that God is doing something in society and wants to bring about a real Jesus revolution, something that flesh and blood cannot accomplish. I'd love to get this to all of you. Unfortunately, we're not able to send a free copy to every one of you. With postage, it's close to a $20 value. But let me do this, all right? We could really use your help here on the Line of Fire. We really are on the front lines, and it costs a tremendous amount of money to be broadcasting in the cities where we are broadcasting. We made a giant step of faith about 10 months ago to do this because I burn with this day and night. God knows, 2-3 in the morning, I'm on my face alone in a room while Nancy's sleeping, that I'm in another room on my face before I go to sleep, crying out to God and saying, oh God, you've called me to do this. You've called me to make an impact. You want to spark something in the nation. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. Friends, I don't believe that. I don't believe that things are the way God wants them to be. oh, on the one hand, he is working out his will in the midst of the earth, but on the other hand, people are rejecting his word and rejecting his truth and rejecting his standards, and he's grieved. And I'm quite sure he's grieved over the state of so much that's happening in the church, including in many of our own lives. And I'm on my face before the Lord. Nancy and I were just talking about this and saying, God, be honest with me. Be honest with me. And show me, Lord, in my own life, where I stand with you. Oh, I'm his child, his beloved son. I know that. But show me, am I deceiving myself? Where am I right with you? Where are things not right? Lord, I want to please you. I want to honor you. I want to do what's right in your sight at any cost, any consequence. Lord, we've got to wake up the nation. We've got to wake up the nation. I know you've called me to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. And look, I just news that was sent to me today. The chief rabbi of Amsterdam, the chief rabbi of Amsterdam has been relieved of duties for right now. Why? Because he signed a statement with 160-something other Orthodox rabbis saying that, in fact, homosexuality was wrong or more of an illness. In other words, something that was not the way God intended us to be, and that change was possible. If you read the statement, it's a graciously written statement by Orthodox rabbis. No more being the chief rabbi of Holland. Now, that's where it stands right now. And in the next half hour, I want to talk to you about our religious freedoms really being under fire and where the church has not stepped up to be proclaiming the message. We have things taken away from us because we haven't used what we have. Remember what Jesus said, that to him who has more will be given, and to him who only has a little. If you don't use it properly, it'll be taken away. In a wide open society where we could be as bold as we want it to be, and we've got 24-hour TV, radio, and all at our disposal, we could do all these different things, friends. We've been ashamed. We've compromised. We've been on the run. We haven't stood up for what is right. And because of that, freedoms that we have are being taken away. Amsterdam's chief rabbi removed from the job after gay row. So after signing this statement, he's removed. This is a chief rabbi of Holland. And I'll go through my list of things happening here in America. But I burn to do whatever I can to ignite a fire in your life, not with anger towards people, not with hatred towards people, but with a determination. Oh, God, I want to make a difference. God, I want my life to count. God, I don't just want to live my life and then at the end of my life look back and say I wasted all these years. So here's what I want to do. We just put in a call to our call center to let them know change of plans today with our resource offer. I know if you read Revolution, the Call of Holy War, it will impact your life. If you send a gift of any size to our ministry, help us in any way you can. Some can help with a lot. Some can help with a little. All right? It all balances out when we each do our part. As my thank you, I want to send you a copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. In fact, a signed copy I'd love to send you. All right? Call to get this, 1-800-278-9978. This is not for the first caller, for the one who guesses the right answer, okay? I'm asking you to stand with us as we are doing a good work on the front lines and making an impact here in America and around the world by God's grace, all right? So to get this, for your gift of any size, our way of saying thank you for standing with us, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. Don't call our switchboard to get on the air. All right, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, I want to get the book to you, and some of you can't afford the full price for it, so I want to send it to you. Others can. Whatever you can do to help us, we're determined to expand. We're determined to touch more people, but it's together, 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 we can make a difference. One more time, here's the number, 1-800-278-9978. Can't do this online. Got to call because we just made this decision. 1-800-278-9978. Back with more to stir your heart. Let's go for it. Let's make a difference. Why not you? Why not now?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is a big book, those of you who haven't ordered it yet, go ahead and order it. Get it on Amazon.com or from our website or at ChristianBook.com, wherever you can order it. When I wrote the book, over 1,500 endnotes, I wanted to meticulously research everything. The second to last chapter of the book was one of the most awakening, conscience-raising chapters in the book. Chapter 14, Big Brother is Watching, and He Really Is Gay. I was inspired by a title of another author whom I cite in the book with the chapter title. And I said at the end of the chapter, which is a long chapter and a long book, I could have written just one book on this subject, freedoms of speech, freedoms of conscience under fire in America and around the world, gay rights trumping religious rights and other freedoms of conscience. As I mentioned right before the break, Chief Rabbi of Holland, of Amsterdam's chief rabbi removed from the job after gay row, Amsterdam Orthodox Jewish community has it's the Orthodox Jewish community that suspended him. Amsterdam's Orthodox Jewish community has suspended Rabbi Arya Raalbag as its normal chief after the New York-based official signed a statement describing homosexuality as an illness which can be cured. Raalbag will remain suspended until he and community leaders have spoken about the issue. The declaration signed by 162 rabbis and mental health practitioners last year states that homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle and that behaviors are changeable. If you actually read the statement, much of it is written with compassion. I read it when it came out, and I felt good about the statement overall. And here, the Orthodox Jewish community in Amsterdam suspends him? Suspends the chief rabbi over making a statement? a statement that would be the only thing anybody has believed or held to for centuries before this in the Jewish community, namely that homosexuality is not what God intended, and that change is possible in terms of behavior. Okay. So I wrote this chapter to sound the alarm, to say, friends, our freedoms are being taken from us. Now, look, last night I was reading a book by a woman named Sylvia Pennington. She was a charismatic kind of grandmother figure, reached out to many in the homosexual community in San Francisco, and people were changing and coming out of homosexuality, and she came back to see them sometimes after and found that every one of them was back in homosexuality, and she was shocked. And then she visited a gay church and felt the same presence of God that she was used to, and then realized, wait, she's been completely wrong on this, and wrote a book, Ex-Gays, There Are None. Came out some years back, but I didn't have a copy of it myself. I found it used and bought it. And I was reading the story of one pastor who struggled for years with homosexuality and tried to repent, realized I can't repent of who I am. This is his own story. And then after years of agony and pain, and he was married with kids and realized this is not who I am and God made me gay. And I'm reading it, and it's very sensitive. It's very painful to read what he's saying, and he's talking about what the Lord was saying to him. And you know, you're reading it with your heart breaking for this guy, breaking for him, as he says he's a gay Christian and a practicing gay Christian. And my heart breaks over these issues. Nonetheless, I must sound the alarm. Day by day, our freedoms of religion, our freedoms of conscience, our freedoms of speech are being taken from us, and it's our fault. We can walk in love and truth at the same time. If our freedoms are taken from us, it's our fault.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire today, 866-34-TRUTH. Remember, through the entire broadcast, you can call this number, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. I'm asking all of you listening to stand with us, to hold our hands up, to make a difference in your city and to make a difference in America and around the world. Ask yourself if our voice was not here speaking to you every day, if it would make a negative difference, and if our voice is here speaking to you every day, if it's making a positive difference. If everyone stands together, we can continue to make an even greater difference. So call this number, 1-800-278-9978. For your gift of any size to help us with this Line of Fire radio broadcast, the hub of our Jesus Revolution movement, we'll send you as our gift, our thank you gift, a signed copy of Revolution, The Call to Holy War. Few things thrill me more than if I'm away preaching over a weekend and I come back to the office and there's a stack of books to sign and send out to you listeners. Few things give me more of a positive, encouraging rise than those. To speak with me on the air, 866-34-TRUTH. Here are quotes just from the beginning of the chapter, Big Brother is Watching and He Really Is Gay, in my Queer Thing Happened to America book. This is 2007 from Scotland. The Edinburgh University has banned copies of the Bible from student dormitories after condemning the Christian Union for violating its equality and diversity policy. What a misnamed title. Violating its equality and diversity policy by claiming that any sexual activity outside heterosexual marriage is not God-ordained. Hang on. Copies of the Bible banned from student dormitories because the Bible would teach that any sexual activity outside of heterosexual marriage is not God-ordained, and they're going to be banned from Edinburgh University, Scotland, John Knox's country. Give me Scotland or I die. Back in 2006, a Canadian professor has been fined 2 weeks' pay by a Nova Scotia university for telling a student that homosexuality is an unnatural lifestyle. 2004, Kevin Jennings, who is the executive director of GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which is really the Gay, Lesbian, Sexual Education Network in terms of what they want to put in our schools, and served as President Obama's safe school czar for a period of time. Kevin Jennings, 2004, ex-gay messages have no place in our nation's public schools. A line has been drawn. There is no other side when you're talking about lesbian, gay, and bisexual students. This is just the beginning of the chapter. I've got a whole lengthy chapter with example after example after example after example. I come to the end of it and said, I could have easily written a whole book bigger than A Queer Thing Happened to America just focused on these issues. In fact, a series of books, probably 1,000 pages each. If you didn't hear on Monday, I mentioned something happening with a school teacher, 20-year school teacher in New Jersey, Vicky Knox. She was upset in her school when there was a display celebrating lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender history with pictures of contemporary gay, lesbian celebrities in the school. A display in her school. Okay, this is not mandated by court law to be there, but this is a statement that the school wants to make. What if you have a moral objection to homosexual practice? You care about the people, but you have a moral objection to homosexual practice. What if you have a religious objection to homosexual practice? Well, who cares? Who cares? Because gay rights trump other rights. That's where society is going. That's what happened to the chief rabbi of Amsterdam from his own community at this point, according to the report that I read. So Vicky Knox is upset with this display and posts strong comments on her Facebook page, so her private page, not a school page and not on school time. How she doesn't have to tolerate everything and how wrong this is. She may not have expressed herself the way you would express yourself, but she was 100% within her freedoms and rights as an American citizen and as a school teacher. And she is now suspended, and they are looking, even though she's a tenured high school teacher, they are looking to find a way to fire her because of her, quote, homophobic comments. Well, that's certainly how they'd be spoken of, whatever the terms are that are being used. And she would not be able to, she would not be able to carry out the school's anti-bullying policy. Well, isn't there anti-bullying policy against you can't bully people over religious issues? Sure, of course. Laws about religious discrimination were in there first. Isn't it bullying to present things in ways that are offensive to Christian students and Jewish students and Muslim students and maybe other students, not even for religious purposes? Isn't that bullying? Or to tell them that they're not allowed to express a difference? Isn't it bullying of the teacher in the name of an anti-bullying policy? If this teacher happened to be an atheist, and there was some Christmas display in the school, and this person quoted Richard Dawkins on her Facebook page or his Facebook page, wherever the teacher happened to be, and blasted religion. Do you mean to tell me that there would be an uproar and that the school would be trying to fire a tenured teacher over this? Come on, in a college here in America, a Catholic teacher teaching in the religion department in his school, teaching a course on what Catholics believe, explained in an email why the Catholic Church was against homosexuality and notes that were for students' test preparation, and got fired. Adjunct professor, there's the class the person taught in the religion department, a Catholic professor teaching on what Catholics believe. Fired. There was a national uproar. Riley and others covered it. There was a national uproar. As I understand the story, they reinstated them and then basically dropped the course the next year. The handwriting is not just on the wall. The handwriting is coming right to our places of business and to our religious assemblies and to our homes, saying your freedoms are being limited. And I understand the mentality that this is alleged hate speech, that this is now intolerant. I understand the mentality. The thing is 100% bogus. I always get ridiculed for this and mocked for this, but the fact is those who came out of the closet preaching tolerance and equality have become the most intolerant and want to put those who oppose their views into the closet. And if it happens, it's our fault, because we have not been willing to shine the light and speak the truth and go against the grain. We have rather decided to do what is politically expedient and what is culturally acceptable. And by doing so, rather than changing the world has changed us. You want fuel for your fire? Get a copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. With postage, it's about a $20 value. But I want to get it into every one of your hands to read and to be impacted by, all right? So your gift of any size to our ministry and to help us what we're doing, specifically to go to our radio broadcast, everything that comes in goes to the radio broadcast, and from there it funnels into our entire outreach work. Hey, how's it going to be that tomorrow I'm going to be having a dialogue debate with an Orthodox rabbi? If he shows up as scheduled in the studio in Florida, with me here in North Carolina, it'll happen. We'll have this debate dialogue. It happens because you're standing with us and helping us. So your gift of any size, some can send a lot, some can send a little. This way we make it fair for everyone. Your gift of any size, we want to send you as our thank you, a signed copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. So call to order, call to sow into our ministry, 1-800-278-9978. Oh, and then when you get the book, read it. Read it. It'll grip you. It'll impact you. 1-800-278-9978. To do that, I got a whole lot more to share, but I need to get to the phone. Steve in Elmont, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, how you doing today, Dr. Brown?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Thank you. Well, I am not ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I don't believe that Mary is equal or has anything to do with my faith in Jesus Christ and God the Father.
All right, so tying in with yesterday's broadcast.
Anyway,
right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You did mention a little bit about that. It reminded me. Anyway, my statement was about, Romans chapter 1, talking about homosexuality and stuff like that, and evil things that people make up and all these things that it's a sin and abomination against God. it seems confrontational if I was to ever bring it up to a homosexual or somebody who has a confrontational spirit. How do we do it in the love of Christ? How do we come across?
Yeah, and Steve, this is going to be the same with any issue that we deal with when someone feels to the core of their being, this is who I am, not just what I do. You are rejecting who I am. You're not just calling my behavior an abomination. You're calling me an abomination. So how do we deal with it? And if we can't deal with it in love and demonstrate the love of Jesus, something's wrong with our message. So, Steve, stick with me. I will answer your question on the other side of the break.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, just one quick comment before I get Steve from Elmont back on the phone. Elmont, not far from where I grew up on Long Island. In fact, one of my favorite pizzerias was in Elmont, now that I think of it. In fact, when I see Elmont, that's the first thing I think about. And then I guess the racetracks. We're there. But Steve made a passing reference to Marian Catholicism because of yesterday's show that got a tremendous amount of responses and some responses now trickling over to our Line of Fire site, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. But I just wanted to say this. I have sometimes flipped on Catholic TV broadcast. And the few times I put it on, when it was a talk show, I don't mean just a mass or something like that, everything about it was promoting Catholicism or promoting Mary's role or promoting the Catholic Church as the Mother Church. I've seen ads calling people to come back to Catholicism and so on. Yet when I put on, quote, Protestant Christian radio, I do not hear the vast majority of the teaching about Protestantism or leave the Catholic Church, or things like that, or bashing the Catholic Church constantly, or it's the Antichrist, or something like that. I don't hear that much at all. So for those that are listening who are Catholic and are sensitive, if anyone ever takes issue with Catholic beliefs, just remember there is a constant bombardment of a pro-Catholic, aggressive, evangelistically Catholic message that's coming our way all the time, just to mention that. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so Steve, back to your question about interacting with someone about homosexuality without getting into a fight over it. First, in Romans 1, it's not talking about every individual person who is practicing homosexuality or who has same-sex attractions or who identifies as bisexual or something else. It's talking about the descent of the human race. It's talking about how the human race in history cast off the knowledge of God and was given over to idolatry, right? And then when we cast off, we still wouldn't turn to him. Then he gave us over to all types of sensual desires and pleasures, gave us over to our own sinful desires. When we still wouldn't repent, then even to more perverse desires where men left natural use of women and lusted after one another, etc. That is not the picture of every homosexual man and woman. In other words, that tells us that the thing itself is wrong, just like all of the other things in Romans 1 that are listed are wrong. You know, Romans 1, 18 to the end of the chapter. Part of sinful fallen nature, part of our rejection of God. Mm-hmm. But there are many people that could be in church next to you, living a moral life and really trying to do what's right, but struggling with same-sex attraction. There are others that are not carousing every night in the gay bar and that even have certain conservative political convictions. And yes, in fact, they are engaged in homosexual behavior. So in other words, it's not that every one of them is having 1,000 sexual partners or every one of them is contracting AIDS and spreading AIDS. You know what I'm saying? We can demonize a whole group of people wrongly. So if we just start with the fact here is a broken, lost person, sinner,
exactly,
like everyone else who needs Jesus, so that homosexuality isn't the issue unless they raise it. My issue is Jesus and their need for the Lord and their need to be forgiven.
I agree with you.
Right. Then when it comes up, what has to happen is that your heart and your care for them has to speak even more loudly than your words. And it can only happen with face-to-face relationship. I get constantly blasted on gay websites and other places as an anti-gay monster, a heartless monster for things I've written. Even though I'm trying to write with compassion and truth together, grace and truth together, I get blasted, mocked, vilified. And yet, when I've had the opportunity to sit with someone for an extended period of time, my best illustration was a very out and proud gay flight attendant who was off duty flying to Rome, and the two of us sat next to each other for probably a 9-hour flight, and he was immediately out and proud. So I, too, was out and proud in terms of my beliefs, and we talked quite candidly, and for several hours at the beginning of the flight and during and then at the end, even exchanged email addresses. And I asked him as we were getting off the plane, if you met someone like me who held to these convictions, all of the moral values and societal values I hold to, would you consider that person homophobic? And he said, oh, yes. I said, do you consider me homophobic? He goes, oh, no, I've heard your heart. He said, it's so nice to meet a conservative with a heart. So that's ultimately it, building a relationship, getting involved in someone's life, caring for them, overcoming wrong attitudes with love and mercy and compassion, and hopefully through that, leading them to wholeness and repentance in Jesus. There's a helpful book by a colleague, Alan Chambers. He edited it, God's Grace and the Homosexual Next Door. You'll find that useful. Alan Chambers, C-H-A-M-B-E-R-S. Hey, Steve, got to run, but good talking to you, man.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
All right, God bless. Hey, Rosa, if you can hang on the phone, we'll talk in a few minutes once we get back past this next break. Let me read some quotes to you from my chapter, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, in the book Revolution, The Call to Holy War. Here we go. Edmund Burke, 18th century British statesman. The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Susan B. Anthony, 19th century suffragette, so fighting for women's rights, resolved that the women of this nation in 1876 have greater cause for discontent, rebellion, and revolution than the men of 1776. Oh, I never advocate for rebellion. I read this quote to say, change comes when people come to the end of themselves. Change comes when people are convinced they're not free. That's a key to revolutionary thought, when we realize we're not free, we stand up to make a difference in Jesus' name. And Julia Ward Howe, the battle hymn of the Republic, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. I'm not applying that in a military context. I'm applying that in the context of give your life for the cause and make a difference. Let me get this book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, into every one of your hands. The holy war that God speaks of is one of love and compassion and truth, laying down our lives to give life to others. It'll change your life as you read it. Your gift of any size to stand with us, to support us, to help this radio broadcast touch more and more lives around America and really spark a Jesus revolution. Our thank you, a signed copy of this book for your gift of any size. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Everyone listening, if you could stand with us, that would be awesome. We would appreciate it. In our way of saying thank you, signed copy of Revolution, The Call to Holy War. My bottom line today, friends, we are standing on the sidelines waiting for something to happen when it will be our time to take a stand. That time has long since passed. It is past time for us to take a stand, but the door is still open. The Lord says to each of us, arise and shine. It's time for your light to impact the darkness.
Friends, many of our most fundamental freedoms are under assault here in America and in Europe as well. Yet rather than the church changing the world is changing the church.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What do you think of this survey from George Barna, reported on Monday? Nearly half of church-going Americans say church doesn't have an effect on their lives. Does that surprise you? Nearly half of church-going Americans say church doesn't have an effect on their lives. Quoting from this article in The Blaze by Billy Hallowell, church is widely regarded as a regular action that can assist one in cultivating his or her faith while subsequently experiencing personal benefits. While this characterization may hold validity for some, there's a new study out that shows that for nearly half of attendees, church isn't doing anything to impact or change individuals' lives. Does that surprise you? Does it surprise you that nearly half of people going to church in America, attending with some regularity, say that it doesn't do anything to impact or change their lives? Is that because they are not putting into practice what they're hearing and learning? Or is it because what they are hearing and learning doesn't really have an impact? What they're hearing and learning is really not challenging them. What they're hearing and learning is really not causing them to grow. What they're hearing and learning is really not making a difference in their lives, because there's no substance to what they're hearing and learning. What do you think of that? Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast this Wednesday, where we focus on the world. And my big question today for this last generation, for us today as believers, are we changing the world through the gospel, through our lives, through being disciples and making disciples, or is the world changing us? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And I am going to come up with a giveaway question in a little while, maybe in the next segment, to give away a free copy of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, a book that will light a fire in you as you'll read it, as it's lit a fire in many tens of thousands of others who have read the book. But don't call yet, because you don't know what to guess, all right? You can call, though, if you'd like to talk to me, 866-34-TRUTH. According to the Barna Group, an evangelical company that studies faith in America, nearly half, 46% of church-going Americans report that their lives have not changed at all as a result of attending church. Well, this is startling. 26% of individuals who reported having been to church before said that their lives had been changed or impacted greatly by the experience. 25% said that church was somewhat influential. In addition to seeking changes in life, individuals also attend church so that they can connect with God. Most people do indeed feel like they have had a real and personal connection with the Almighty while sitting in the pews. Despite this, majority find nearly one-third of individuals report not having ever felt God's presence while attending church. But what if all those two-thirds are experiencing God, how come they're being changed? Barna has more. One-third of all adults in the country report connecting with God at least monthly, 35% via a congregational setting. Among those who attend church every week, 44% said they experience God's presence every week, and 18% do so on a monthly basis, and yet so many say they're not being impacted. I say, in many cases, there's something wrong with what's happening in the services. There's a lack of the presence of God. There's a lack of the power of God. There's a lack of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There's a lack of the reality of His working. There is a lack of message that goes to the heart in such a way to change you, to move you, to show you that there's a better way in God. I wonder if the problem is primarily with the people attending, with the people, those of us, ministering. All right, back with a whole lot more, including some disturbing news from Rhode Island and your calls.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, okay, so why do I say that our religious rights and freedoms are under fire? Well, there's always the atheist opposition to religious freedoms in America, so that separation of church and state becomes separation of freedom of religion becomes freedom from religion. And rather than keeping the state out of the church's business, separation of church and state as it was intended, instead that you can have no religious expression in the state. So there's an account just took place last week, if you didn't hear it. There was a prayer banner that had been displayed in Cranston High School West in Rhode Island for, what, decades? And a 16-year-old, Jessica Alquist, who described herself as an atheist, said that the prayer banner displayed in the auditorium does not belong in a school. When I saw it there, I knew it didn't belong, and every time that I saw it, it was a reminder that my school wasn't doing the right thing and that my school didn't necessarily support me and my views. So the Rhode Island chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union sued the city and the school committee last year over the banner, and the banner has been removed. School committee member Michael Traficanti said he's extremely disappointed in the ruling. What's ironic, he says, is this banner has to be removed because one individual, after 50 years, believed it to be offensive because of her disbelief in any religion. Governor Lincoln Chafee said he agrees that the banner violates the Constitution and supports the court order. The prayer was written by student David Bradley, now in his 60s, and encourages students to strive academically. It begins with the words, "Our Heavenly Father," and ends with, "Amen." How offensive to have that hanging in a school. Oh, but hang on. You can celebrate gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender history. You can put up posters, banners, have special events in school, have school assemblies without even notifying parents, and on and on and on. You can do all that, and that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly acceptable. There's no issue with that. And in fact, if you take issue with it, you lose your job, as Vicky Knox in New Jersey has recently found out. A tenured school teacher, 20 years teaching high school, offended by the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender celebratory poster in display in her school, posts her objections to it on Facebook, and is facing firing over that. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the discussion. And after this call, we will do a giveaway to join the discussion online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Rosa in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for accepting my call. It's my first time talking to you. It's a great honor.
Oh, well, bless you. Thank you, Rosa.
Thank you. I have two strikes against me, actually, and I'm glad I can talk about it. First of all, I am straight, and there are so many laws that are now protecting, quote-unquote, all the gay community, all the gay people, that I need a law. Now, I need a law as a straight person, that if I feel that I have something that is offensive to me, just like that one person in Rhode Island, was able to take down that banner. What about me as a person, as an individual American? If I am offended, can I have the same thing taken down?
No, you're straight. We are part of the dominant oppressive majority. So we don't have any. We have all the rights. You see, nobody else has rights. So our rights no longer matter. I'm being sarcastic, Rosa. But the thing is obviously.
No, I know. But now I need a right. I'm totally with you. That I have to be protected now because now gays are trespassing on my liberty. Now they are telling me that I cannot have an opinion, I cannot have any rights, I cannot write, let's say, on Facebook or anything, because if my employer sees it and somebody brings it up to them, I can actually get up face firing. Right?
Yeah,
I have to feed my kids and I have to pay my bills too.
Yeah, and Rosa, also, there's no question this is true. In point of fact, well, I read a book 7 years ago by Alan Sears and Craig Austin, attorneys with the Alliance Defense Fund, on the homosexual agenda, the principal threat to religious freedom in America. When I read it, it was an eye-opener for me. I had some inkling, but I didn't know the extent of it. And then when I talked to an old friend from Long Island who's been a long-time attorney now with the ADF, he said, Mike, I never thought in my life that every day of the week we would be involved in case after case across America where people are losing their religious rights and religious freedoms and freedoms of speech and conscience to homosexual activists. He said, I never dreamed it would happen. And again, that's what got me involved when this came knocking at our door. But Rosa, this happens because we as believers nationally have not been standing up, have not been speaking out, have not been vocal, have not been unashamed. Thank God there's a remnant that has done that. But so many have just compromised, and we want to keep everybody happy. And you know, we do that to our own destruction.
Now, the second thing I have against me is that When I go on Facebook, okay, or any place else, you know, any place that I saw, even speaking to somebody, and I tell them, you know, when they tell me which faith you are, and I say I'm Catholic, right away they know immediately that I am supposed to be prejudiced, that I am supposed to be against the individual gay person. I am very spiritual. I love God with all my heart, and I love people, but I don't love the actions. It doesn't mean that I don't love the person. God told us straight out. He said, you love the individual, but you do not love the sin they commit. Okay, and I feel that I am straight and I'm Catholic, and right away I am banned.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So and what's interesting, Rosa? I did a show yesterday where I differed with Catholics about belief in Mary and things like that. But I recognize this. When there's a TV show that's bashing Catholics, they're basically bashing Christians in general. In other words, you'll almost always see if it's a Catholic priest that they're displayed negatively. And so there's a constant target there. The fact is, though, Rosa, light is more powerful than darkness. Truth will ultimately triumph over lies. So we put our trust in the Lord. We look to Jesus. Yes. We do what's right. And if we suffer opposition for what's doing right, well, that's part of our history and heritage in the Lord, but we will overcome what's wrong with what's right. Hey, Rosa, thanks for calling. It's a delight to make contact with you.
May I just say one more thing, if you don't mind?
Yeah, just real quick. Go ahead.
Real quick, okay. A lot of people have misconception about what Catholics do. We do not pray to Mary, to venerate her as God.
Oh, yeah. Rosa, yeah, I appreciate you wanting to share that. Thanks. I just don't want to get on that subject again today. All right, but God bless you. Thank you so much for calling, Rosa.
Thank you.
All right. If you missed the debate, the discussion, the interaction yesterday, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire. Okay, Jennifer in Denver, before we get to your call, I'm giving away a free copy of Revolution, the Call to Holy War, a book that the day it came out, we gave away over 70,000 copies, over 70,000 copies we gave away the day the book came out, over $1 million retail value. It's impacted people for years since then, since it came out in 2000. We continue to hear the fruit that it's borne. It's more relevant today than when it was written. We'll tell you later in the broadcast how you can get a copy if you're not the one person. I'm going to read this quote, and then I'm going to give you four possible people who said it, okay? People are crying out for liberty. Will we offer them true freedom, or will Satan beat us to the punch yet again, offering his destructive counterfeit? Let me read this again. People are crying out for liberty. Will we offer them true freedom, or will Satan beat us to the punch yet again, offering his destructive counterfeit? Who said it? Was this Billy Graham? Was this Martin Luther King? Was this the current Pope, Pope Benedict? Or was this yours truly, Michael Brown? People are crying out for liberty. Will we offer them true freedom, or will Satan beat us to the punch yet again, offering his destructive counterfeit? Who said that? Billy Graham, Pope Benedict, Martin Luther King, or me? First one with the right answer gets a free book, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. First one gets it. We'll let you know when we have a winner. We're not going to talk to you on the air, okay? So this, you won't be able to guess and count down from there. But this book will light a fire in your heart as you read it. And the quote is actually from the pages of the book. While you're calling in, let me talk to, well, Jennifer in Denver. We're short on time, so get started, and then we'll keep talking after the break. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi there. I'm actually calling regarding the fallen churchgoers.
Oh, yes, yes. I know that.
Yeah. The statistics are shocking. However, I completely understand this is prophecy, considering the apostate churches, 5 out of 7 fall. That number is far greater than the statistics that are currently given.
I tell you what, Jennifer, I want to hear what you're saying, but you're talking about Revelation chapters 2 and 3, 5 out of the 7 churches in Asia Minor, and it's the end of the first century. End of the first century. 5 out of 7, repent or else. Okay, we have a winner. David, congratulations. I'll tell you where the quote comes from. We come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So I got on the air on Monday and kind of had a change in direction burden as I got closer to the show and changed our blurb a little bit for the show that day and talked about why I believe we have to have revolution, why this slow and steady kind of change is going to do it, because we've gone too far in our culture and in church backsliding and in compromise. We need radical, dramatic, sweeping change through the gospel, not worldly revolution. I talked about that on Monday, and then later in the day, I started writing an article on anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism, started with a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, only to realize later in the day that it was Martin Luther King Day. And as I shared, the first hour, it was early 2000s, so 12 years ago, in the midst of writing the Revolution book in a very intense, inspired, stirred six-week period, wrote 335 pages, roughly, with notes, moved on, impacted heavily. I was quoting extensively from Martin Luther King on a Monday before preaching in Houston, only to realize it was Martin Luther King Day. So I guess, you know, kind of revolutionary thought is in the air. I'll make some big spiritual thing out of that. But this quote, people are crying out for liberty. Will we offer them true freedom, or will Satan beat us to the punch yet again, offering his destructive counterfeit? Those are my words, and they are from page 213 of the book Revolution, The Call to Holy War. Okay, before I get back on the line with Jennifer to join in the discussion today, has the world changed the church, or is the church changing the world? Have we been an influence of salt and light to raise the standard, to raise the moral climate, to change people's God consciousness and thinking and morality? Or, rather than that, has the opposite happened so that we have become more worldly and our standards have dropped within the body to the point now that our very religious freedoms, freedoms of speech and conscience, are under real assault? To answer that question, 866-34-TRUTH. But let me tell you what we'd like to do. I am not on the radio as a professional radio host. Oh, our program is certainly professional, and by God's grace, we do it. We do it with excellence, but I am not on the radio as a professional radio host. I'm not on the radio because I'm paid to be on the radio. To the contrary, we pay to be on the radio. I'm not on the radio because I have big holes in my schedule that I'm trying to fill. I basically readjusted my life 3+ years ago, going on 4 years ago, when God spoke to me that I was to be on the air. In fact, he had laid that on my heart many years earlier. And when the call came to do it, I knew it was right to step through it. I do this because I burn to see a Jesus revolution in society. I do that, and I do this every day, 10 hours a week, my joy, my privilege, my honor to do it. Never a burden, always a joy. I know you can sense that and feel that as you listen to me and talk with me every day. I do this because I am committed to see a Jesus revolution in society. I do it because I'm committed to see revival in the church. I do it because I'm committed to see my Jewish people turn to the Lord, and this radio show is our hub. I'm asking every one of you listening, do what you can to stand with us, okay? I want to send you a copy of Revolution, The Call of Holy War with postage. It's about a $20 value. Some of you can't afford that. Some of you can give much more. Stand with us any way you can, and our way of saying thank you will be a signed copy of the Revolution book. So give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, so that we can stand together and make a difference. Again, your gift to help of any size, our way of saying thank you, will be to send you a signed copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. And you know what would really be meaningful? When you get the book, read it, because I'm telling you, it'll light a fire in you. And you'll say, all right, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Okay, Jennifer, I didn't plan on getting into that little talk, so thank you so much for being so patient. But before the break, you were saying that you see prophetically there's going to be moral, spiritual decline. But bottom line, regardless of prophecy or where we are in the end times, your overall assessment is that the world is changing the church rather than the church changing the world, at least in America. Is that right?
Yes, I absolutely agree.
And based on what? Obviously, we agree, but why do you say that? What's your observation?
I do believe that concerning the times that we're in, the devil does know that his time is short, and that it makes him angry. It's time for him to step up his game and deceive people further. And I feel that is not only affecting the world, but now affecting the church as well.
Yeah, and you know the problem always starts. It starts with the body. It doesn't start with the world, because the world is lost, right? It starts with God's people, and it starts with leadership. And I say that as a leader. I say this commonly at leaders' meetings. America's messed up because the church in America in many ways is messed up, and the church in America in many ways is messed up because leaders are. I work with fine leaders all over America and all over the world, but I also know that so many are afraid to speak the truth or unwilling to speak the truth or have somehow convinced themselves theologically that they shouldn't go against the grain or rock the boat and just have to be sensitive. And you know what we're basically doing? We're not doing surgery on a dying patient because we don't want to hurt the person by cutting them, even though the surgery is going to save their lives. We don't want to prescribe the medicine because the medicine doesn't taste that good. And we you know, it's almost like a doctor thinking, if I tell everyone they're healthy and they're fine and there's nothing to worry about, they'll all like me and they'll keep coming back. No, they won't, because when they get sicker and they realize that the doctor didn't tell them the truth because he didn't want to offend them, rather than getting better and being improved by their visits to the doctor, they're going to find another doctor. And in fact, they're going to resent that doctor, and ultimately that doctor would be out of business. Hey, Jennifer, since you were so patient to hold, I'd love to send you a free copy of Revolution, the Call of the Holy War, just for your patience. If you read it, we'll send it to you, all right? So
thank you.
Stay on the line, and Andrew will get your contact info, and we'll send you a signed copy. Friends, how more urgent do things need to get here in our culture, in our society? How much further does the media need to go? How much more celebration of things that are contrary to the word and contrary to what is best? How far do things have to go before we say, okay, maybe I should be unashamed. Maybe I shouldn't be on the sidelines. Maybe I shouldn't just be standing around waiting for someone else to do it. What's it going to take? How far does it have to go? We have the privilege, friends. You and I have the extraordinary privilege of having the message of life and of having God with us as we stand for him. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. No weapon formed against us can succeed and destroy us. If we'll stand up for what's right, come on, let's take a stand together. Make sure you take advantage of all the free resources on our website and the many resources in our online bookstore. And today I'm asking every one of you listening, stand with us with a gift of any size to help us expand the outreach, the Line of Fire, and to be on the very stations where we are right now. And as our thank you, we'll send you a copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War signed. But call 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978 to sow into this important work.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a day that was applicable to his audience, and it's been applicable at different times through the ages, where people would call evil good and good evil. It's a dark day when you stand up for what has always been normal and always been natural and always been right and always been biblical and get blasted for it and get silenced for it and lose your job for it and get kicked out of college programs for it. Do you know right now the Australian Open is taking place, one of the four tennis major events of the year and the first one of every year? The Australian Open is taking place at Margaret Court Arena, Margaret Court being the greatest Australian women's tennis player and well-respected in her society, and also an outspoken Christian leader. And she has made clear, in opposition to where some of the government wants to go, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. How radical, how extreme, how bigoted, how right-wing fundamentalist fringe to say such a thing. And now there are calls that the name of the stadium should be changed. There are tennis players who are wearing rainbow colors to protest Margaret Court's comments and stands. There are articles being published now and getting more and more attention that research shows that gay parents are better than straight parents. Of course, the research, rightly read, shows no such thing and ignores other issues. I could go on and on and on and on. What got my attention also earlier today, I talked about it in the first hour, was that the chief rabbi of Amsterdam has been removed from his position by the Orthodox Jewish community in Holland because he signed a statement by 162 rabbis and mental health practitioners last year stating that homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle and that behaviors are changeable. A chief rabbi saying what a chief rabbi should say for the Orthodox community. And according to this report, I mean, it's mind-boggling. This is DutchNews.nl. According to this report, it came out earlier today and was sent to me this morning. This is the Orthodox Jewish community that has suspended him for signing a statement by other Orthodox Jewish rabbis and mental health practitioners. Rabbi Ralbach's signature may give the impression the Orthodox Jewish community of Amsterdam shares his view, said a press release by the community board. This is absolutely untrue. Homosexuals are welcome at the Amsterdam Jewish community. So this is supposed to be the Orthodox Jewish community saying that homosexual practice is acceptable and that behavior cannot change? Are you kidding me? I mean, if it was the secular Jewish community that took issue with it or some state religious board that took issue with it, I could understand it. But the Orthodox Jewish community? Oh, and the examples from America continue to stack up by the day. God forbid you say something that could be considered negative, offensive on any level to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. But let every type of offensive, ugly attack against Bible believers come forth day and night. You get applauded for that. You get national airtime for that. Time to wake up. Time for Jesus Revolution. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you today to get in the conversation. Give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. My simple question, are we changing the world, or is the world changing us? What do you say?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday, our focus on the world. In particular, we're putting the examining focus, the magnifying glass on us, on God's people. I was staying at a hotel recently. Where was it? D.C., I think. And lots of different hotels, and I often don't remember one from another unless they're really memorable. That's normally in the rundown bad sense, especially in some places we've been overseas. But I was in this one hotel, and I was shaving in the morning, and I said, oh, wait, next to the razor, it's one of those magnifying mirrors. I hadn't seen one of those in a while. Or if they're in the hotels, I just don't notice it. Obviously, I'm not putting on makeup or, you know, checking my eyelashes or whatever. And I hadn't seen one of those for a while. I remember, you know, growing up, my sister used to have one. And so, you know, I went to shave, got up real close to that thing. I thought, man, you don't shave well or take care of your face properly, you're going to see every little blemish. You know, we've done some TV shows in high def, and they have to put on makeup. You know, you have some powder or something just to make your face look normal under the bright lights so you don't look totally washed out. And, boy, they said, yeah, we got to apply it differently because otherwise every little line or anything is just totally distracting, and you see it because of high def. You see athletes in the slightest expression they make. I mean, they're on the other side of the field. They're sitting on the bench, and boy, it gets blown up, doesn't it? That, you know, every little detail. Well, we need to put ourselves under a holy magnifying glass, not for self-condemnation. If we're God's people, he does not condemn us, but he does convict us in his love to bring us higher, to bring us into conformity with his son so that we can be world changers. We can do the things he put us here to do. We can be disciples and go and make disciples. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to give another copy away of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. And I'll tell you in a little while how every one of you can get it for your gift of any size. Some can afford to get 1,000 of these in one shot, and some take you a while to save up to get one because you just don't have an extra dime. So we want to help every one of you get this. I'll tell you how in a moment. But we're going to do a giveaway, so stay tuned, and we'll tell you what number to call and what the quiz question is. But before I get to that, can I be just straight and candid with you? Well, in fact, of course I can. That's why you're listening to me right now, because you expect me to be straight and candid. It is such a crying shame that we see the destruction of marriage in so many ways in the world, and then we look over at the church, and it's the same thing. You say, no. The church is a hospital for sinners. This is a place where broken, hurting people come. Oh, broken, hurting people should come. Absolutely. And people have been ravaged by divorce, and people have been abused, and people have been drug addicted, and people are outcast, and people who society doesn't like, and people who are misunderstood, and on and on and on. We should be the place where they come and find acceptance and love and comfort and help in their weakness, in their pain, in their struggles. And then we should see change come. In other words, once we come to know the Lord, become disciples, we don't live the way we lived anymore. I haven't touched drugs in 40-plus years because I've been transformed. Oh, I've had medicine, but you know what I'm saying, illegal drugs. I haven't gotten high in 40-plus years. Why? Because Jesus saved me. A horrific, unbelievable temper I used to have, this jealous, ugly, angry temper. You can ask Nancy, married to me, we're going on 36 years now. You know, in 36 years, how often has that thing manifested? It's never manifested the way it used to be. I'm a different person. Oh, still growing in the Lord, but a different person. I'm not sitting around, you know, when the show's over, downloading pornography. That's not who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. Oh, I've had ups and downs. At times been closer to the Lord, and at times not walking as closely as I should now, and I need personal renewal and revival. That's the same story with any of us, I imagine. And times that I've had to recover my first love. And I'm sure as I speak to you, there are areas in my life where the Lord will call me deeper into intimacy with Him and love with Him and fellowship with Him and devotion to Him and a deeper level of purity and holiness. I want that. I desire that. But I'm seeking to please Him. When I walk away from here, when I'm done with radio, I'm the same person. Ask the people who work around me and are with me. But what I'm saying is this, friends. It's just not the way it's supposed to be, that the sin of the society is the sin of the church, that the profane TV programs with all kinds of unclean examples and so on and so forth, things that are just, you'd be embarrassed to watch together at a public worship service. Okay, we're going to put this show on. We just watched freely in our homes, at the worst, the cable TV is broadcast into our homes, that our teens are getting high and having sex like so many of the worldly kids are, that we've got the same problems with divorce. I'm talking about no-fault divorce and even substance abuse and pornography abuse and things like that. In the church, it's not the way it's supposed to be. We rather should be different by the grace and power of God and by being disciples and by living out what's in the Word and by being in fellowship one with another so that we can strengthen one another to go out and do the work of God and make an impact with the Lord and standing one with another. We are the ones called to make a difference. We have the light. The light shining in darkness makes a difference. And yet, when we look around in the society, friends, it's the exact opposite. We who've had religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom of conscience have been losing it because we haven't been using what we've had. And then we're shocked when we begin to lose it because people stand up for their convictions more than we stand up for our convictions. How can this be? Okay. Before I go to the phones, Ray in Hendersonville, North Carolina, you're up next. Who said this? We are allergic to sin. We are allergic to sin. Was it E. Stanley Jones, American missionary to India? Was it the 17th century Archbishop Robert Layton? Was it C.S. Lewis? Or was it Muslim leader Ayatollah Khomeini? Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. First caller to get this right gets a copy, signed copy of Revolution, the Call to Holy War. There's a way for all of you to get the book. Tell you about that later. Who said it? We are allergic to sin. Was it E. Stanley Jones, American missionary to India? Was it Archbishop Robert Layton, 17th century? Was it C.S. Lewis? Was it Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran? The quote, we are allergic to sin. First caller who gets it right gets a free signed copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. When you get the book, read it. You'll be impacted by it. We won't be taking your calls on the air, all right? So you just call in, and as soon as we have a winner, we'll announce it. 866-34-TRUTH. I have to say, it is always fun to watch phone lines light up. They were lit up all day yesterday with our Mary show as we discuss Catholic beliefs in Mary. All right, to talk on the phones, Ray in Hendersonville. So don't worry about answering the question. Others are doing that about who said that, who gave the quote. But what's your take on the world changing the church or the church changing the world?
Unfortunately, I believe the world is changing the church. I've experienced a real awakening over the last 2 years in my own Christian life, and I have seen our country has just gone downhill, and we still want to use politics to get ahead when we should be looking to Christ, and we should be looking to our Savior to make a difference in our own lives. You've inspired me. I went and heard you speak one time, and I listen to your radio show if I can, but we need a renewal. The church needs people who walk and live in the truth and live in holiness, and that's just what we're not getting. We're not hearing it in the pulpits. We're not, men are not living it at home. Men are supposed to be heads of their households. They're supposed to walk in holiness. They're supposed to live in holiness and be heads of the house, and we're not doing that. And tell us men, we become heads of our homes, and then and then take it to our church community, and then take it to our work community, you know, we're not going to see a change. And that's where the lasting change will take place, when we become heads of our home as God intended us to be, and we walk in fear of the Lord.
Yeah, Ray, thanks for the good word, and I'm so glad that we have been able to make a positive impact in your life, and amen to everything that you said, and may the awakening continue and grow. By the way, do you have my book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War?
Yes, I actually do.
All right, okay, well, tell you what, Jeff, how saved are we?
No.
All right, stay on the line. I want to send you a copy. Friends, we've got a ton of calls, but no one's gotten the right answer yet. Who said it? We're allergic to sin. It's 1 in 4. Keep calling.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I did something I don't think I've ever done before during a two-minute break. I read an article quickly. I'm constantly doing that, things that I'm going to talk about in the show or something just happened in the news or some online post or sending out a quick email. So I did that, but I was also watching the phones lighting up perpetually the entire break, so the last couple minutes before the break and through the entire break, lighting up perpetually with everyone getting the wrong answer until Charnel, congratulations, Charnel, got E. Stanley Jones. I don't know how many people call. It's 1 out of 4 choices, right? And overwhelmingly, I was told it was C.S. Lewis people. Well, I mean, all credit to C.S. Lewis for being that influential. I guess it sounds like him. We're allergic to sin, right? But no, that was E. Stanley Jones, who's a missionary statesman, labored in India, had many creative approaches to get the gospel message out, the message of the kingdom in India. So congratulations, Charnel. You get a free signed copy of Revolution, The Call to Holy War. There was 1 in 4 choices. And I'm talking about all the lines lit up perpetually the whole time. And then I see them drop off, and then instantly the lines get filled again. So I didn't know it would be that hard. Just 1 in 4, multiple choice. I started the first hour by reading a proclamation, a gay pride, gay straight youth pride day proclamation, and celebrating gay rights. Started the show with that, but had a slip of the tongue and mentioned the state. Anyway, people just had to figure out who that was without multiple choice, but that was Governor Mitt Romney in 2004 celebrating gay pride in his state, which is another reason that people are concerned about where his stance really is. Look, I'm reading an article right now. It came out in USA Today, and it's getting a lot of discussion. High school newspaper column sparks controversy. So this is a high school newspaper. The column ran on the editorial page of Shawano High School's Hawks Post as part of an opinion package about gay families who adopt children. And according to the 2010 U.S. Census, of 17,019 households in Shawano County, 82 were same-sex households. So 82 out of 17,000. So it's hardly any that reported. And out of that, almost half reported children homes. So say 40 out of 17,000 households, same-sex households with children, okay? So the student newspaper column against same-sex couples says if one is a practicing Christian, Jesus states in the Bible that homosexuality is a detestable act and sin, which makes adopting wrong for homosexuals because you would be raising the child in a sin-filled environment. A child adopted into homosexuality will get confused because everyone else will have two different gendered parents that can give them the correct amount of motherly nurturing and fatherly structure. In a Christian society, allowing homosexuals to adopt is an abomination. And it goes on. Well, a parent found out about this and was outraged and said this is why these kids commit suicide. And the high school now has apologized. The administration has apologized for this. All right? A quote, I know there are at least 3 openly gay families in the district. There's probably more. What effect is this going to have on my kids? How are other people going to react? This is from a same-sex parent. Okay. I didn't read the entire editorial, the entire op-ed piece by these high school students, and if it said that homosexuality should be punishable by death, of course, we don't accept that. That was Old Testament law for Israel, a theocracy. We don't accept that or advocate that here or anywhere. to be clear, it is outrageous that that column gets banned, but you can have every type of pro-homosexual display and celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender celebrities, figures, on and on, even taught in a mandatory way with SB 48 in California, okay, in all the schools now, no exceptions, no teachers can opt out, no students can opt out. That's fine. Well, what about the millions that that offends? What about the millions that that offends morally, spiritually, culturally, and sociologically? That doesn't matter. Like his gay rights, Trump, religious rights and freedoms. Time for us to wake up. All right? So before I go back to the phones, I want to urge every one of you to stand with us so together we can make a difference. When I started the show today, I wasn't planning on doing this the first hour, and I thought, you know, I want to do this. This book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, shows that the type of life Jesus is calling us to live, overcoming evil with good, hatred with love. But it's a radical book for people who are serious. The day it came out, we gave away retail value over $1 million worth of books in the year 2000, over 70,000 copies. We have them. I'm holding one in my hand. And I'm asking you to stand with us. If you believe that my voice not being on the radio daily would make a negative difference, but us being on the air daily makes a positive difference in many lives. And we give you testimony after testimony. But I believe you know that already. Stand with us. Your gift of any size, some of you can't afford much, some you have excess funds. Your gift of any size to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. And our thank you, a signed copy of Revolution, The Call of Holy War. With postage, it's about a $20 value. Some of you can't afford that. Your gift of any size, our thank you to you, will be a signed copy of the book. Those that can afford to send more, awesome. Let's stand together and make a difference. I do not believe it's too late. I believe God can work through us and do amazing things if we'll yield ourselves unconditionally to him. So call or stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. To the phones, Charles in Atlanta, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Hello, Charles. All right, we've lost Charles there. Frank in Greensboro, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I was looking at, I mean, like, I was in church a few weeks ago, and there was a real hard message preached on, you know, salvation, forgiveness, and things like this. And then we had the Lord's Supper, and there were some people that obviously, you know, they're not married, and they're living together, but they got up, they partake of the Lord's Supper anyhow. It seemed like they have no conscience of that, but this is in a gospel-preaching church, so address that also. I mean, it's not just...
Yeah, Frank, it's our responsibility then as leaders to know the flock, and if people are living in sin, if people are living in outward sin, because we don't know everyone's private life, but if they're living in outward known sin, then of course we can't let someone like that partake of communion. So unless there's more to the story, maybe they got married and you don't know it. Otherwise, Frank, just another reminder of the amount of compromise that's in our midst. How can we get mad at the world for being worldly? How can we get upset with the world for being worldly when we as God's people are not living as God's people? Come on. Let's turn the light on brightly. That'll do something about the darkness. Call the stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Our thank you gift for your gift of any size, a signed copy of Revolution, The Call to Holy War. Together, friends, we're making a difference. So my bottom line is this. I'll say it yet again. Don't get upset with the darkness for being dark. Instead, turn the light on. Turn the light on brightly. Turn the light on clearly. Let it shine without shame, without contradiction, without compromise. And we will make a difference with the darkness.